Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Well, the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission is falling apart along party lines. Good morning, everyone. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Thanks for tuning in. Remember the bipartisan commission appointed to investigate the causes of the financial collapse and the Great Recession? Well, the Republicans on the committee issued their own briefing paper yesterday, laying basically all the blame on the government and basically none on Wall Street. They even voted last week to ban the use of the words Wall Street, shadow banking system, and deregulation from their version of history. Let's take a closer look and maybe touch some other financial news if we have time with Heidi Moore, financial journalist and contributor to the New York Times Deal Book. And starting next month, we are happy to announce Heidi will be the New York Bureau Chief for the public radio program Marketplace. Heidi, welcome back to WNYC. And congratulations on joining the public radio team full time.
I'm proud to do it.
Remind us, first of all, what exactly is the Bipartisan Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission? This is not something that people think about and talk about over dinner day after day.
Which is a shame, actually, because it's a pretty thrilling topic when you really get into it. In May 2009, it was put together to look into the causes of the crisis. And so you've heard a lot about congressional hearings and inquiries and things like that. A lot of that has been engineered by the FCIC. And what's happened is that now they are at the end of their run, and they have completely blown up on what they were created to decide, which is the causes of the crisis. And it's in marked contrast to the PCORA hearings in the 1930s, which took a look at the market crashes that caused the Depression and were far more conclusive.
Who appointed the members?
Well, they sort of came from all over. I mean, the administration had a role in it, but there are members from both sides.
And both parties' leaderships in Congress, I guess, right?
Exactly.
Plus the administration. And who are these Republicans on the committee who issued their own briefing paper?
Well, they include several big thinkers, including Douglas Holtz Eakin.
Who was John McCain's economics advisor during the presidential campaign.
Exactly. Peter Wallison is another one. And so they're people who actually have some heft in Republican thinking on finance. And so it's surprising that they came up with the conclusions that they did, which is they don't mention the word derivatives at all in their 9-page report.
And how fully do they blame the government for the 2008 meltdown of Wall Street? Oh, I forgot, I'm not allowed to say Wall Street. Well, you know, those investment places.
Right, where they keep the money in vaults. Actually, they go all out. I mean, they not only blame the government for starting Fannie and Freddie and creating lower capital standards for banks that encourage lending, but they also blame the government for not saving Lehman Brothers. So really, the government can't win on either side because they say the government was too interventionist and then it was not interventionist enough in the case of Lehman.
Now, back in September, we had the chairman of this Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission, a Democrat, Phil Angelides, on the show. And I asked him precisely this question. I said, how much do you blame Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac government policy for this financial crisis? And here is a minute of what he said.
It's clear that Fannie and Freddie were massive failures and we're paying the price for it. But the fact is we will be putting facts on the table that hopefully try to unravel some of the mythology that exists. Wall Street was extraordinarily aggressive in packaging and selling subprime loans across this world. Most of the lenders who made subprime loans in this country were not heavily regulated lenders. They were not subject to the Community Reinvestment Act. And on this score, I think we're going to be able to paint a pretty good picture of who did what when, what the numbers were, and what the impact were. And I think you're going to find that, yes, Fannie and Freddie were a force in this crisis because of their scale. But all those lenders from AmeriQuest to New Century to Countrywide coupled with Wall Street had an enormous impact on the generation of subprime loans and the ultimate damage to our financial system.
Now, Heidi Moore, I must say, when I heard that at the time, it didn't strike me as a particularly partisan answer. It seemed like he was saying Fannie and Freddie were a force in this crisis. They were massive failures, he used those words in the clip, and were paying the price for it, he said. But he also went down some of the particulars of private sector failure. But now that's being written off as a partisan Democratic version of history?
Yeah, it's really a shame, actually, because there are, you know, reasonable minds can disagree, but there are some facts that we can all agree on, which is that all the way up the mortgage structure, people benefited either from making money on property or from fees or, you know, from interest rate arbitrage, as in the case of Fannie and Freddie. So if everyone benefited, you really can't exclude anyone from blame. And that's an important factor. Where Wall Street comes in is that they would bundle the mortgages into securities, but they would often take the same bad mortgages and bundle the same ones over and over again. And so when those securities fell apart, it magnified the losses.
Now, I think what the Republicans on the commission would say is the people on Wall Street felt they had license to do that because they believed that the government was going to backstop all these subprime loans, ultimately, because that was the nature of the deal between the government and Fannie and Freddie. Is that their argument?
That is part of their argument, that the government not only encouraged risk-taking by allowing lending standards to fall at Fannie and Freddie, which then encouraged Wall Street to bundle more of these products because they just had to mop it up, but also that the government lowered capital standards for banks that they had to keep on hand for mortgages. That the government policies, encouraged subprime borrowers to get into the market and made it cheaper for them. So they blame it all up and down the scale.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC with financial journalist Heidi Moore, contributor to the New York Times Deal Book and starting next month as the New York Bureau Chief for Marketplace on the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission, that bipartisan commission falling apart now along partisan lines. People are calling in. We'll take a few phone calls on this. 212-433-WNYC. If you want to get in, 212-433-9692. But we just have a few minutes, so if you want to get on the air, call up right away. You'll get right on. What are the Republicans looking for here? Is it political gain among their constituents, among donors on Wall Street? Wall Street is a pretty divided place, leaned pretty Democratic in 2008, for example. Or is this pure ideology? What's behind this?
It could be a combination of factors, and it would be interesting to get them to talk more about their own motivations, because this is an excellent question that you ask. I think that really, the Fannie and Freddie situation has infuriated Republicans for 12 or 15 years or more. And they feel like this is probably their chance to get it on the record that these two entities deserve far more blame than they're going to get. And the way that they did this was by basically writing 9 pages about Fannie and Freddie and their connection to government. And they feel that they can get that off their chest.
Jim in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hello, Jim.
Hi, yeah, I'm one of the people who have never believed in the claims of neoliberal economics that markets are self-correcting, et cetera. And for those of us like that, this is really good news because it really shows that Republican thinkers, economic thinkers, have no credibility, that their ideas are exhausted, and that this entire neoliberal agenda of the last 30 years is really at a dead end, that they would come out with something like this.
When
so
you
I'm
say,
really happy to hear this.
When you say neoliberal, though, what do you mean? And didn't Democrats embrace this, with Robert Rubin and Larry Summers? What are you really talking about?
Okay, that's the term that we use to describe the sort of old free market, unregulated, self-correcting form of capitalism that was developed back in the 19th century. You know, that markets are self-regulating, that government is bad, that et cetera, et cetera. I guess they call it neoconservative here in the United States, but everywhere else they call it neoliberal economics.
Thank you for your call. Heidi?
Yeah, if I can just jump in, it's important to note that these Republican commissioners on the panel self-identify as Republicans, but they don't speak for the entire Republican Party. So they are the Republican faction of the panel, but I am sure that you will find other Republican economists and thinkers and investment bankers who would disagree significantly with their conclusions. It's important to kind of make that nuance clear.
Do they want to undo the Dodd-Frank bill and just deregulate Wall Street altogether?
Well, the Dodd-Frank bill, it's up in the air what that accomplishes in the first place. So if indeed it does regulate Wall Street, which is not at all clear, then they would want to push for more deregulation. They do believe in free markets, and obviously they're up against it right now because self-regulation has seen a significant failure over the past few years.
Shelley in West Orange, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I think that this is another attempt by Republicans to whitewash what they have done. It's their financial ideology of no regulation that has allowed these catastrophes, just like Enron, just like the savings and loan scandal, to happen. And then we all end up paying the price, and then they unbelievably manage to make it look like it's Democrats who have caused this fiasco. And I'd also like to see research.
So, Shelley, are you going too far the other way? Don't you want to put this both on government and the private sector?
I think that by not specifying in which time period and whose government was responsible for this, you know, the deregulation of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, this occurred, we're ignoring real facts of political ideology and how it affects our economy.
Shelley, I'm going to leave it there. I appreciate it. Ari in Queens, are you taking the same position as the Republicans here?
Well, actually, I'm taking a position that government is the primary cause of the crisis, like your guest explained, and that it encouraged the markets to go in places otherwise wouldn't have gone by lowering the standards that loans were able to be made to people. And I want to recommend two things that people should read, which are, one is a pamphlet called The House That Uncle Sam Built, and the other is a book called Financial Fiasco by Johan Norberg, which explain in detail how government is the primary motivator of the crisis.
Do you think that Wall Street had nothing to do with it, or the deregulation of Wall Street had nothing to do with it, or some of these other terms that have literally been banned from the Republican version of the report?
Well, no, the thing is that the government incentivized people to take risks that they otherwise wouldn't have taken in the free market.
Thank you. And true as far as that statement goes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we can agree that government deserves some blame, as does Wall Street. It is only when it becomes sort of reductionist and one side escapes blame or doesn't accept as much as it should, because everyone was in this together, and it really started, if you go back, all the way down to the Clinton administration, when really affordable housing seemed like a true virtue and something that everyone should be able to access. And obviously, due to economic reasons and bubble reasons, that metastasized, that just grew out of control. But you can't necessarily blame a single administration because the growth was so over such a long period and so participatory.
All right. We leave it there with financial journalist Heidi Moore, contributor to the New York Times Deal Book, and starting next month, the New York Bureau Chief for the public radio program Marketplace. I guess we will not see a 9/11 commission style consensus report coming out of what was supposed to be the historic financial crisis bipartisan inquiry commission?
No, you won't. You'll see a lot of sulking, though.
Thanks a lot, Heidi. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Don't forget, it's a free country. WNYC's new political website has lots of new things for you to check out today. We have followed up on two recent Brian Lehrer Show segments. On Monday, we talked about the new committee chairs coming into the new Republican House. And there's a whole host of new faces calling the shots on some very important committees. Now you can check out It's a Free Country's Guide to the New Chairs and our slideshow of the faces that you should get used to seeing a lot of. Also, following up on our segment here on the program yesterday about political euphemisms, we have a slideshow on It's a Free Country of some classic political rebrandings, from illegal alien turning into undocumented immigrant to estate tax being called the death tax, things like that. See the highlights and vote on your favorites. And finally, remember Jimmy McMillan, who made a splash as an outsider candidate for governor this fall? Well, he's back trying to launch a music career. And he's given WNYC an exclusive track for our politics website that you can download for free. Remember his party? The rent is too damn high. Well, the bass is too damn funky. Listen. I never leave home without it. Wherever I go, it goes. Wherever it goes, I go. It's my sweetheart. Nothing will ever tear us apart. Jimmy Millen and McMillen and more at itsafreecountry.org, where there's always something to read and always something to do. New York City Comptroller John Liu coming up next with his year-end financial report on the city. There is good news and there is bad news. Stay with us. Tell me what you want to hear. My guitar. Come on. I'll play it any. What you want to hear. My guitar. Come on. What you want to hear. I love playing my guitar. Before I go to bed, I wipe it down. Loosen up the string to get that funky sound. Tomorrow when I tighten it up early in the morning, I love the way she